I can tell you something about this place. My boys call it the Black Lagoon, the paradise. Only they say nobody has ever come back to prove it.
Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all of our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies on the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Height.
And I'm Chelsea Death.
And welcome to B-cember.
B-cember,
bitches. And for this, this is a holiday, actually. It's happy holidays. B-cember is part of that holiday.
B-cember to remember.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Honda event. Yeah.
It's the Toyota-thon.
That's happy Honda days, Monica.
Shit. This is the Toyota-thon of Spooky Tuesday, though, for sure.
For sure. And so to
December, Black Friday, it's all the reason for the season, baby. What am I saying? Keep going.
Why don't we do black comedies for every end of Thanksgiving for Black Friday? Yeah. Black Tuesday.
That's a good idea.
Next year.
Write that down, Chelsea.
Yeah, we did do that. We did do T-Hanksgiving that one time. That was a black comedy. So,
and we did
that
do Malignant
was the inaugural
this year,
event. So,
right?
Something
Malignant
to consider.
Could be a black comedy.
Very black.
It was very funny. They had black hair. It counts.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. But B-cember, though, we have a theme for this, and we know what we're doing, and it's B-movies. But, Sydney, what is it this week?
Well, we're kicking off this glorious high holy day with the OG B-movie, which is The Creature from the Black Lagoon. And it's not even The Creature. It's Creature from the Black Lagoon. But I
creature.
Keep saying The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I don't know why.
You're giving him his, you know, stateliness that he deserves.
Yeah, it's
the,
like the Ohio State.
He's not the creature. He's the creature.
Exactly.
He's that bitch.
I appreciate you respecting him the way that he deserves to be respected. So thank you, Sydney, for being reverent.
Thank you. We'll be reverent
about this one thing.
Just this once. And okay, since maybe listener, if you like all three of us had also never seen this movie before, the IMDb tagline is a strange prehistoric beast lurks in the depths of the Amazonian jungle. A group of scientists try to capture the animal and bring it back to civilization for study. That's it. That's amazing. The entire plot of the movie.
That's the whole entire plot of the movie.
Yeah.
There's not a lot that goes on in it, but it's not about that. It's about the vibes, I would have to say.
You know what it is about, actually?
What?
Having two men in tiny little swim trunks on for as much screen time as humanly possible.
Sure.
What this movie actually is about is having three men fight over you. One is hot and maybe blonde. It's hard to tell because it's in black and white.
Mark
one
is blonde.
And he's your boyfriend.
David
and one.
Dave,
he's a
gillibond. Oh my God.
The balloons came back. The Hell House balloons came back. What the fuck? I said boyfriend. Boyfriend. What is it?
What happened?
So weird, and it's in black and white. The balloons were in black and white. At least the balloons weren't in color. That would have been
I thought they were spooky ghosts at first.
Oh my God, I feel
tell
sick
the
now.
Ghost that's haunting your laptop or your Zoom that it's not appropriate for this episode.
Yeah, come on.
This is a
there
creature
feature. Clowns in this one. This is about the Gill Man, and it ruined my joke. Okay, this is my joke. The third man that's fighting over her is the Gill Man.
That's the joke. That's the plot.
I know, but I was trying. It was like a funny thing to say, but it got ruined by the ghost. Fuck you, ghost curse.
Oh,
you ghost.
You're right.
You
I'm
ruined
sure
my
if it weren't for the balloons.
It would have been hilarious.
It would have been impeccable timing.
No, it was very funny.
I was going to mention this to you guys earlier, and then I was like, we can have this conversation during the episode. I saw a TikTok earlier from a person I'd never seen before, but they had like 100,000 followers. They were talking to their Gen Alpha sister and sister's bestie. They said Slay is out. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I heard that.
I feel like the children are not in charge, though. And why would we let them be in charge?
I'm an adult also, and I can do what I want.
I don't give a shit. Sorry. Like, I'm gonna be cringe and chuggy or whatever.
If it slays, I'm gonna say slay.
Yeah.
It is.
Slay.
Did and you I say literally if it's my first riz, note? I'm gonna say slay. Is that what you just said?
Slay, said, I'm slays. Gonna say slay.
My first note for this movie, when I was watching, my first note for this movie, Big Bang Slay. That's, I'm sorry, it was. What am I supposed to do if it's slay, not say
not
slay?
Acknowledge that it
I
was
have
slay?
To be honest. I have to be true to myself and to the art that we're discussing.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest that if I ever say slay and I get called out by a Gen Alpha or Gen Z motherfucker, I'm going to blame Chelsea. I literally didn't say it like maybe ever at all until we all went to Alabama and you said slay 1,000 times. So now I say slay every day, like 15 times.
If it's a slay,
I
it's a slay.
It yeah. From you.
I love saying slay, as you know.
Look. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure one day I'll move on as well, but that day is not now, and I don't do anything else in my life based on what 14-year-olds think is cool. That's, well, when I did have one period of time where I was, like, working with kids, and I was like, I'm gonna wear my Olivia Rodrigo sour bracelet, and they're gonna think it's cool, and nobody ever did, so I gave up on that really fast.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I love when the teens tell me that I dress cool.
Uh-huh.
I do not give a shit what they think if I'm saying the...
If they think it's uncool, guess what? I'm actually in charge of what's cool around these parts.
Yeah.
You get to appoint yourself. I'm appointing myself as in charge. There are the balloons again. What's going on?
What's going on? I don't like this. I don't like it one bit. I mean, to what you've said about Slay being out, to that I say, fuck you, the Gill Man is Slay. And if the Gill Man is Slay, then Slay can't be out. So I think that that's great logic.
He's a timeless classic.
He's a timeless classic. Slay is a timeless classic.
Yeah.
But also, like, Gill Man is the moment. Like, have you seen his, like, injectable lips constantly gaping, doing the like
what did you just say? Yeah, like, I didn't notice his gaping lips.
Yeah, he's literally doing fish mouth.
No,
which is an Instagram trend.
He started it. I mean, that's the whole thing of this entire movie. Like we were saying I was saying at the end of last episode, like when you think of horror, you think of like 3-4 things. It's mostly the universal monsters. If you think of classic horror, this is, you know, this is the top four. It's like Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, and this guy. And also the other thing that I thought this entire movie, it was really hard to watch this movie, honestly, in a post Shape of Water world, because yes. I was like, he's hot. When are they gonna fall in love? He's hot. Gill Man is hot. What are they gonna fall in love? And then, well, I was like, oh, this was from 1954. The world wasn't ready for interspecies relationships yet. I don't think so. I really kept thinking it was gonna happen though. And I was like, no, Monica. Guillermo did that.
I thought there would be a little bit more of that as well. But Guillermo del Toro did that because he watched this movie and was like, when are they gonna fall in love?
Exactly. No,
like,
he saw what
we all saw. I gotta do it myself.
I don't know if I read something or heard something where people were just like speculating, but apparently the monster was supposed to have like a 4-foot dick.
That is made up. That's not true.
Who's to say?
Okay, wait, tell me more though. I'm listening.
I need to know more.
Well, they were... they were then concerned that it would lean into bestiality.
If his 4 foot dick was dragging along the floor behind him, yeah, I think it would be a little distracted.
Okay, I'm literally reading this article right now because I read so slow. That's called, like, it's Monsters of Makeup, and it's like making up of the creature from the Black Lagoon. And so I like just control F'd dick penis just to see if it said anything about a 4 foot dick, and it did not say anything about
Wow, the history books forgot about it.
This
four feet.
Yeah. It was gigantic.
As, are those your words, or did they say 4 foot?
They said it, not me.
Who is they?
I don't remember. It's been a day. I'm trying to not kill myself, okay? Like,
I don't know what I would do if watching this movie he had a 4 foot dick, presumably hanging from no higher than 3 feet off the ground. So at least a foot of it is dragging.
I am taken aback. I am taken aback. That's just, I already thought he was hot. This would be too much.
That would be not.
Here's the whole question. Do you wish Gilman had a 4 foot dick in this movie?
Yes, I would love to see anybody have a 4 foot dick just to see how that impedes their daily life, because that would be very difficult. Be longer than your legs. Actually. Although one of the guys who played the Gilman was 6'5", but you'd have to be 8 feet tall to have a 4 foot dick hanging from your waist level, roughly speaking, and not have it be dragging on the ground. And even then, it would reach to the ground. You'd have to pick it up when there were pebbles around.
Well, he's an aquatic animal, okay? And so it just would float
between land and water.
A grower, not a shower, okay?
Yeah, also, it could be used as like a swimming implement, like a rudder to help him make
a propeller, one could say.
In the sea. Wait.
Sydney, you're saying it's not 4 feet all the time, only when he's erect.
Sydney's saying from this unknown, unknowable source that he had a 4 foot dick, but it was a grower, not a shower. So it was
grower, not a shower is my addition to
and
that.
And then it grew into 4 feet.
It was a very reasonable 6 to 7 inches when it was hanging there. And then he got erect and it expanded to 4 feet long.
Yeah,
48 inches.
Because he's part fish, right?
It's extendable, so it just...
But they don't, like, have penetrative sex. They just splurt it in the water. So there you go. Maybe it needs that reach to get good coverage.
But to get deep into the caves and the grottos.
Yeah.
I think this is what it is. I think this is what it is. Hear me out. This is going to be disgusting. Not that disgusting. If you're an amphibian, he's not an amphibian. If you're an ocean-dwelling animal, like, look at any ocean-dwelling animal that you've seen, and they don't have a dick that sticks out that I've seen. I've seen Shamu's dick, though. But you don't see it all the time. It was as big as a Volkswagen Beetle. It was so
bigger
long.
Than 4 feet. Were,
the dick?
The dick, not like as wide, but as long as a Volkswagen Beetle. It was huge. I'm not kidding. It was Shamu's dick. I saw Shamu's dick. Shamu's a woman. It was a killer whale's dick. Shamu's a woman.
I didn't know.
Shamu's dead. Shamu was a woman. Anyway, it was a dick. They're taking
woman.
A sperm sample behind the scenes because, yes, we've talked about this. I went to SeaWorld camp. We'll get into blackfish during this episode. Please just let me live my life. I didn't know. I was 12. But anyway, I did.
Cancel her.
Aren't you glad I went to SeaWorld camp? Like, I tell you about Shamu's dick? I'm very defensive about this. but anyway, like Shamu, when Shamu's going around the town, you don't see his big dick flopping around because it would affect his hydrodynamicness. That's not the word. Aerodynamic.
Like a little pouch.
Hydrodynamic. So it goes inside their body and then it comes out when it's the right time. So I think that's what it is. I think
so.
Inside,
he could have a 4 foot dick.
Inside of Gilman's body, there's a 4 foot dick, which would take up most of his internal organ space. But again, it's a grower, not a shower. So there we go. We solved it.
You've convinced me.
He's right.
I'm convinced.
Add it to IMDb trivia. Make it part of the official record.
Yeah, I'm gonna add that in there. It'll be like, they wanted to give him a 4-foot dick, but they realized it wouldn't be realistic because it would affect his hydrodynamicism in the water and his speed and agility. Doesn't that sound real when I say it in that voice?
It does. Yeah, it sounds also, very authoritative.
Like, as someone who read the IMDb trivia for this movie, there were at least two things on there where I'm like, did someone just do a lie? So I think we could get away with it. Because there was one on there that referred to Bud Westmore as the assistant to Millicent Patrick, the original designer of the Gilman costume. But actually, he was like one of the heads of some department at Universal. He was her boss. He was not her assistant. So I don't know why somebody wrote that.
Well, it's funny that you brought that up because that's like a big point of contention mm-hmm. with this movie. Because, I mean, we're talking about the dick. That's very important. And that's something that Millicent had to make these decisions on. But she was never getting any of the credit until much more recently. Because Bud Westmore was given all of the credit for the design of the monster.
She was given some credit originally because she was going on a tour that was like the beauty that created the beast. And then he got mad and changed the name of the tour halfway through. That was like the beauty that lived with the beast.
Like she fucking did that thing.
She
did
that it. Bitch.
And that's
she invented
the
4-foot dick.
She invented the 4-foot dick. Also,
Queen.
She's just like a very, very incredible woman with a really, really interesting life. She also did like the animation. She did animation at Disney. And she was one of the very first female animators there. And she worked on Fantasia, which is like my fucking shit. That's my childhood, Fantasia and Fantasia 2000. And she worked on the last segment of Fantasia and created one of Disney's or helped create one of Disney's darkest villains, Chernabog. If you know about Chernabog, then you know.
I don't.
But the part of it was like demonic imagery, skeletal ghosts, fire creatures that morph into goats and lizards. Yeah, she did that. She's an animator and she's spooky through and through. We love her. Also, she grew up in Hearst Castle because her dad was, yeah, I know, it's fucking crazy. Her dad was like one of the chief, he was the chief engineer in creating Hearst Castle.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and she was really hot. Also, she married
she was hot,
the guy
yeah.
who played the Lone Ranger later on in life.
What a life. Play. Her connections.
She's fucking incredible. And I was just also reading this article about what the fucking monster looked like before she got super involved. And it looked like fucking shit. So thank God. Thank God she got involved because, like, it is like a really incredible, stunning work of like makeup. Cause like the Gilman is like I said, he's hot. He's weirdly hot. He's so graceful in the water. Like I wasn't expecting this movie to look as good as it did. And it looked great. I really enjoyed it. I haven't really watched a lot of these older films, but it started me on a whole kick of watching them now.
I haven't seen any of the like Universal monster movies. Like I know
the original ones, yeah,
like I know what they all are, and but I haven't like seen any of the movies. And yeah. I love that we started from the very end because the Creature from the Black Lagoon is like the last, because all of the other OG ones are like from the 30s, and then he's kind of like the last one, so we're gonna work our way backwards
end
with the OG
era.
Yeah, seriously, it like brought it like back though, you know. But I was also reading this thing that all the rest of them pretty much, except for I guess the Mummy, like all interrelate, like they do, like what was it, Who versus the Wolf,
the Dark Dracula? Universe
the Dark Universe, it's all part of the Dark Universe. What is it, A League of Extraordinary Men kind of shit. That was the movie, a movie where they brought them all together in like the 80s. And it was good. Anyway, I don't know. I watched it as a child. But they were like, oh, the creature stood alone. He did his shit by himself. Can you imagine if they had done the Gilman versus Dracula or some fucking shit? Like, it would have been ridiculous. but he didn't need that. He stood on his own. And also, I had no idea this is a trilogy of movies.
Yeah.
I know what happens now. But yeah, I really need to see all of them, especially apparently the third one's really, really good.
Okay.
It gets psychological.
We're checking out.
Oh yeah. Cause the whole thing, like getting into this movie, William Allen came up with the idea when he was at dinner with Orson Welles, as you are. I'm
as one does, because they were besties. Yeah,
And some guy like told him this story about like the Gill Man, because this is like based on an actual legend about a humanoid sea amphibian man, I think in the Amazon as well. And he was like, damn, that's super crazy. And he thought about it for years. And then he finally turned it into a movie. But at first, he literally just said, you know, King Kong? Copy paste.
Yeah, yeah, it is very much like this same DNA. But for the record, that the man who told them the story was famed Mexican cinematographer Gabriel Figueroa. And it was lore about, or like a legend from South America about a creature who would like come out of the water and steal a woman away every few years. Well, yeah, the Amazon is in South America, so I don't know if it was any more specific than that, but
I don't know. It's I love like stuff based off of folklore too, you know, we know this about me. So I really like that part too. I feel like it could be real. I believe it. Shit goes crazy in the Amazon. Anything could happen.
They said in the movie, everything there is a killer.
Uh-huh. Even the fish. And the fish are hot. Look at that. Fish
have 4-foot dicks. They're very sexy.
4-foot dick is not sexy to me. That is
4-foot dick
terrifying.
Is very scary, but
that's haunting to me.
I was just watching an episode of Afraid. What's the one where everyone is naked and you judge everyone's
naked
genitalia?
Naked Attraction? Isn't that
naked
what it's
attraction.
Called?
Yes.
I love that on HBO.
Yeah. And this girl was like, your dick is too big and beautiful, so I'm kicking you out because it's too
and
much
for
me.
Reason, I'm out. She said it like they do on Shark Tank.
Exactly. And it would have, that's what would have happened with the Gill Man. That's another reason why they made it an internal 4-foot dick.
Oh, let's hide the 4-foot dick. People are going to be intimidated.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's no way Julie Adams will fall in love with him if she knows up front how big his dick is. She'll be scared.
I need everyone who's listening, though, to really look at the references this time around and look at this article from Monsters of Makeup, because you need to see what the Gill Man looked like before they figured it out.
Oh, no.
He was dismissively referred to as the Pollywog, and it's literally so bad. Oh my god, they refer to him as a demon anchovy straight from the hellish depths.
Okay, but demon anchovy
episode
is
of
a great
SpongeBob
name.
That's a quote from this article.
The nematodes.
Oh, good. He does look like a nematode, but they didn't make him like quite as ribbed for your pleasure as he ended up being. He was kind of like streamlined.
Yeah, he's got abs.
Yeah, he's got abs. Who has abs? I think he kind of has scaly abs in the final. I don't know. But he was more like,
he's a great workout. So,
oh, it really is. It really is. He was. This is from a former swimmer, but then my school didn't have a pool, so I had to quit. Anyway, I'm bitter about it, as you can tell.
You know, I did watch this movie with my dad, and he was a swimmer for a really long time, and he was like, the swimming is beautiful in this.
The swimming was really beautiful in this. But yeah, they literally, it was just like, kind of like a morph suit to visualize with like the worst mask you've ever seen, and it wasn't hot, and he didn't have the gills, and he didn't have any of the other little things. But apparently once Millicent got a little bit more involved, she was inspired by, you know, the classic sea monk. You know about the sea monk? Do you know about him?
Oh, yeah, the sea monk.
You know about the sea monk?
Oh, yes.
I don't know about the sea monk, but I'm looking at this picture. It is a picture of a monk-like man, but he's also a fish. And
of course.
He looks fucking terrifying. He's absolutely terrifying. It was a mixture of the sea monk, the bishop fish. So similar kind of thing. You know, a bishop. Well, he's also a fish now. We will post these pictures somewhere for you to see them.
We'll post a carousel of these photos.
Uh-huh. And then also apparently, because she worked at Disney, they think that was a little bit inspired by Cleo, that really sexy fish.
That is a very sexy fish.
From Pinocchio? I think maybe that's where the red lips came from, because apparently, even though this movie's in black and white, all the paintings.
This movie was in black and white 3D when it came out.
Can we? Oh my God. Can we talk about that? Because last night, after I watched this movie, I said I got on this kick of older movies and I was like, I want to revisit Our Boyfriend, Vincent Price. So I watched House of Wax, the OG one, and I was like, this is so weird. They're doing all these things that make me think they thought this was a 3D movie. Like, Vincent Price throws something and it literally hits the camera. There's a guy who has, like, you know that thing where it's like a paddle and a stretchy cord and a bouncy ball and you bounce it? He was, like, bouncing it at the camera, like, in your face, like, a bunch of times. And I was like, that's so weird. But 3D didn't exist back then.
It Wrong. Did.
No, remember when we did House on Haunted Hill?
And yeah, it was 3D. Well, I forgot. I totally forgot. It was fucking created in like 18 something. Like, 3D's been around for a long, which makes sense. It's not like so crazy. It's like the red lens and the blue lens. Well,
they had that, and I saw something on IMDb trivia that said they did do that at some point when they were trying to do like a TV release or whatever, but it didn't work very well. This was a different kind of 3D technology. That was something about, it said the 3D glasses at the time were almost more similar to the 3D glasses that we have now for the movie theaters.
Oh, really?
And it was something about like the gray scale. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, so
well, yeah, because that wouldn't make sense because they didn't have color. It was a black and white movie, so it couldn't be blue and red. Stupid Monica, continue.
But no, I did so much of what I was trying to research about this film was more like the history of like film history stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like what are B movies exactly? For one, for B-Summer, I wanted to be knowledgeable. I wanted to speak knowledgeably on the subject. And guess what? I don't really feel like I fully understand. But I did talk about it a little because like I said, I watched this movie with my dad. My mom was also there, but she was in the background playing YouTube videos on her phone loudly. So she was only moderately tuned in. No, I'm lying. She only did that one time. It wasn't the whole time. And I went, oh, I guess you're done with the film. And she was like, kind of. But I was watching it and we were talking about B movies. My dad was like, what is a B movie? Lucille Ball was the queen of B movies, right? And I was like, no, B movies are horror movies. That's not true. It's not horror specific. It just has come to sort of be a conversation piece in horror. Is like, it seems that way to me, is that it is more prevalent in horror these days, where you're just not getting as many low budget movies in other genres because nobody wants to make low budget movies the same way anymore, because they just don't want to invest in anything that they don't think is going to be like a big tentpole studio film. And I saw a Reddit thread that was like, how do we define a B movie? And apparently you can't be a B movie if you're an art house. It has to be basically like when a studio is doing a low budget movie as opposed to a regular budget movie. Part of it was also when they were like the secondary supporting film in a double feature release.
Yeah,
that was, I think, really where the B movie as a term came from. But I couldn't find anything about this movie being released as part of a double feature.
Do you want to know what it was?
Ooh, tell.
I can't think of the name, so you'll have to, but it was the Marilyn Monroe movie with the iconic white dress.
No, that's wrong. It was featured in the shot of her with her skirt being blown up.
Oh, in the background?
It was the movie in the background. Yeah, that's what you're thinking.
But I was reading it wrong. Oh, well.
I mean, that's a beautiful fun fact, and I love it. But yeah, I don't know. I couldn't find anything about it being released with something else. I did see lots of things about double features with this movie, and it seems like it is, in modern day at least, shown a lot with Phantom of the Opera, which makes so much sense.
I want to see that so bad.
Mm-hmm. And also the old Phantom of the Opera, though, the 40s one. And it's shown with Jaws a lot, which also makes so much sense because this film was like hugely influential for Jaws.
Oh, totally. This like wrote Jaws for it. I was listening to some of the music from it and I was like, they're like, they definitely like, oh, what if I made this more dramatic?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, watching with my parents was not the ideal atmosphere for this film, but we did have some interesting conversations about it. And one of it was about like the music. That was something my dad and I talked about a lot. Was he was like, I guess the music is really important for this movie. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that is a lot of horror in general, because and especially for a movie like this where they're not necessarily going to be able to show you that much, or there's only so much they can do on camera. It's about creating like the atmosphere that makes you feel afraid, the atmosphere that like makes you think something might be about to happen, even if nothing does. So it's that like anticipation that they really build through the music primarily to tell you like the emotion that you should be feeling in that moment.
They couldn't do as much visually. You're so right.
Mm-hmm. And they had three different guys who made the music for this movie. They had one guy who did the like score for the opening and the closing, and they had one guy who did the underwater score, and they had one guy who did all the other stuff, and then there was like one theme music for the Gillman specifically that plays like every single time he's on the screen. And they just, I don't know, it's like, thinking of it, I really thought about Jaws and Psycho. Like, those are some of the most famous scores, specifically because the music is doing so much of the heavy lifting of creating that, like, anticipation. And this movie is, you know, very, very clear that that's where a lot of the work is going.
No, totally.
This also reminds me a lot of, like, Halloween, because the music also, but Gillman, just like Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers, kind of, you know, like, won't die.
And like, he can't express a lot.
He just kind of like creepishly walks around, doesn't say anything, you know?
Slow moving. Well, except when he's in the water.
He's the blueprint, you know?
No, totally. This movie is super fucking influential. I mean, there's that, we were talking about the Jaws thing too, not only the music for Jaws, but like the whole scene with, what's her name? Who knows? Kay. Haha. I remember that because I know a lady named Kay, and I was like, oh, those are the only two ladies I know named Kay, the lady from this movie and the lady I know in real life.
In the movie, just like the Kay that I know. Their names are the same. Yeah.
This really helped humanize the character for me. Anyway.
Well, sure, because nobody in this movie has a lot of characterization, so I think you need to bring some of it yourself.
Exactly. But Kay, her doing her little swim in her white bathing suit in the water, and the Gillman is sensually, in my opinion, swimming below her, that's very like reminiscent of the Jaws scene at the beginning when the girl's swimming and the shark is below and blah blah blah, and the poster, which is that woman in the white bathing suit bathing beauty.
Like I said, the IMDb trivia, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because there's at least one other like really seemingly big lie that I couldn't verify anywhere else in there. But there's a thing on there that says that there are like very similar camera angles and edits on purpose, seemingly to reference that specifically in the beginning of Jaws. Like the shots are almost the same.
Oh man. Well, just to really quickly go back to the 3D aspect of it. Well, I read also, because I, you know, again, this isn't like House of Wax. where that I was just talking about, where it's so obvious that it's a 3D movie. Like, it's not like the Gill Man's like coming out to get you or whatever, or like a fish flops into the camera or whatever. It's not that gimmicky. But they said that the 3D was really, really stunningly effective with all the shots underwater, and specifically like of the fish, of the sharks, when they have all those gorgeous shots at the beginning, at the like Sea Institute or whatever the fuck, I don't know, where they're all hanging out.
The Institute Biologica Maritima.
Yes. precisely. But yeah, so that, and then I'm sure, of course, all of the swimming scenes with beautiful Kay, who, I need to look this up. Did Kay do some of those fucking water ballet movies that were really popular back in the day? Because she's a very graceful swimmer. She's got a water ballerina written all over her.
I think somebody else did her underwater stunts.
Yeah, IMDb trivia said she did all of her own stunts, and then it said this other lady did her swimming things, and I was like, okay, that doesn't count as a stunt. What stunts did she do?
Yeah,
being scooped up, and being carried around. Those were
that's about
stunts.
It.
And slay for her for doing them herself, but
well, then it was definitely a water ballerina, because that I felt like was very reminiscent of those movies, which I've never seen any of those. I've just seen Hail Caesar, where they reference them, and it seems awesome. But yeah, apparently the 3D effect with the underwater scenes made that super dynamic. So I'd love to be able to see it that way. It sounds gorgeous. I'm a big underwater girly, so this really speaks to me.
Ginger Stanley, allegedly, per IMDb trivia, was the woman who performed the underwater scenes.
That is such a 1950s name. Are you
Ginger
kidding
Stanley?
Me?
Yeah. But
Ginger,
yeah, she
what
had
a great
like
name.
Her one leg at like the angle to the other leg, and she did that graceful
and her toes
slow
were pointed.
Wow.
Her toes were pointed the whole time. I was like, that's a nice point. She knows
I know
what she's
what
doing.
I'm going to be practicing in the water this coming summer.
But also Julie Adams did do a lot of swimming herself, so I don't know what who's doing what. And like, okay, I keep referencing it, but I haven't said it yet. The big lie, I think it's a lie. I don't know. Maybe it's a hidden truth. on IMDb trivia is, okay, in this film, there were two different men who played the creature. There was one man who played the creature on land, and then there was another man, Rico Browning, who played the creature underwater, and he was just, like, a lifeguard in Florida that they, like, found and hired to do some test scenes at first, just, like, so they could set up camera shots and, like, figure out, is this a good location, blah, 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 whatever, and then they hired him because his swimming was so good, but then IMDb trivia has this one entry that says, per your own website, quote, during the filming of Creature from the Black Lagoon, the creature was supposed to be played by Rico Browning. Browning experienced problems adjusting to the suit underwater, so a stuntman with underwater scuba experience, Chuck Wilcox, was hastily hired to finish filming. Part of the deal was that Wilcox could not take credit for the film. But also, Rico Browning played the creature in the next two movies, and that's like what launched his career in Hollywood. So I don't know why this person wrote that or where that came from, or when they say per your own website, what website they're referencing. So like anything from IMDb trivia, the Ginger Stanley did the underwater stuff versus Julie Adams was in the pool all day, and one of her hardest days on set was they forgot to heat the pool when they were doing the filming, and it was a cold day, and she had to be in the water for hours. Like, who knows what the truth is?
I'd be so mad if I had to be in the water and it was always heated, and then it's not heated.
And even the thought of this is, it's going to push her right over.
Well, I can't speak to if Rico Browning was actually the person in the suit and blah, 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 blah. But in that article that I'm talking about, it shows both of them without the mask on. Both Rico Browning, who's the underwater guy, apparently, or not. And Ben Chapman was the out of water guy. And I
one
just
of them is very sexy.
Both, no, they're both sexy. That's my point. They're both sexy underneath. So I was right thinking they're hot, thinking the Gill Man's hot. He is.
One's wearing like a swimming cap, so looks bald. So I do not acknowledge what he looks like. at this point. But the other one is very sexy.
He looks good even with the swimming cap. I'll say that for him.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. He's just wearing a cap. He's just a man in a cap. It's,
I know.
The other guy has tussled hair, though.
Yeah, the other guy has very sexy tussled hair. Makes me want to run my fingers through it, you know?
Looking at him, not to get into my Bachelorverse world, but looking at him, I understand why everybody said that Tyler Cameron looked so old Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about why, speaking of sexy people, why everybody looks really sexy in black and white, like us right now, because we're filming this in black and white?
Us right now, for sure. You did text that when you were watching the movie last night, and I hadn't had that thought to myself that anybody looked sexy. But Kay wore 1,400 magnificent outfits, so...
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm dressed as Kay today. It's a little bit of a subtle thing. But
the hair's
I
good
was
though.
So...
Yeah, the hair is very good.
Thank you. I tried. I could have done the whole thing that she does because I have the rollers to do it. And then I went to do it and I was like, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah.
That takes a long time. And I don't want to wash my hair and get it wet. That sounds terrible. Anyway, so this is my half-ass version. But yeah, I was thinking throughout, I was like, obviously we're in a movie and everything is farce and blah, 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 blah. But how would her shirts be so pressed on the fucking Amazonian river? Like all of her outfits were so coiffed. Where is she showering? Is there a shower on there? Like her hair was perfect.
Why is she sometimes business casual and sometimes she's wearing bandana print halter top?
It's perfect.
I did like her little hat, though. I almost wore a little hat to match her. I loved her little hat.
Ugh. One of the things that I will just never get over in this whole, like, 50s time period is the pointy boobs.
Oh, that was just what the bras were like.
I know. But, like, the fact
but
that
like,
we were,
why
like...
why were the bras that way?
Oh, I don't know. Okay, so after I watched this last night, I put on my... I have, like, two retro bathing suits that are, like, actually vintage, and they have that one of them more than the other because it's damaged and so the boob is just like really fucking pointy, like
conical,
like weirdly point, like you can tell there's something wrong. But the other one, it just makes them look real nice because you can't really tell what's real, what's not real. It's literally like cardstock in there. Like
it's the
like
ultimate
hard
defense against the nipple bra, I guess. They really said, not only do we not want your nipples to show through your bra, we're going to make them come to a little point just to disguise any possible pointy nipple that might try and make an appearance underneath there.
Exactly.
But in doing so, they're really making me think about what's underneath there, you know.
I know. But the bathing suits were very flattering, and Kay is a gorgeous angel. And I don't think her boyfriend is quite as hot. I don't remember the men's name. I only remember
David.
David. But the one that's bad boy.
Mark.
Mark. He's very handsome. Also, he's wearing a loincloth in his IMDb headshot. Just saying. I just wanted to let you know about that. He didn't wear a loincloth in this movie, unfortunately. He was too busy not caring about animals' rights. PETA's worst nightmare.
Oh no.
That's true. He's in there trying to slay every animal that he comes across. And when I say slay that time, I mean it literally.
Slay, derogatory.
Derogatory.
The king of slay, derogatory.
But okay, I mean, there's not a lot of plot to this movie. Talk about really a little bit of it. There's really not. But I do love, like, I don't know. I'm like really going to be watching a bunch of these older movies now because I'm into the pacing at this point. I wasn't before. I was too millennial. I was too 2023. But now I'm ready. I'm open my mind. But like there's so many fun things that are like the hand coming out of the water for the first time. They're looking at the fossilized hand. And then meanwhile, the real live hand comes out of the water and it's like... And the music's like fucking crazy and it's just a hand coming. I love it.
I like that they started with the big bang too. They really said, let me show you the stakes. The creation of the universe is extremely relevant here. So no, we're going totally. All the way back Evolution. To the beginning. And I we're like filming the way they did real explosions was very fun and cool.
Yeah, that was a really cool opening. That was a very artistic opening. I also liked, like, once it is more in reality, like when, or not during that opening sequence, when it's like they're talking about they're doing research on the lungfish, which is the fish they show that has the, like, you know, little fins, but they're like weird arms, kind of.
Oh, like, yeah.
Swim around. And
it
so
almost
I
looks like a salamander, a pre-salamander. Totally.
I'm super fascinated by like those creatures that are like innie outies. They're in the water, they're out of the water. They can do los dos. I love that so much. So I love that they actually showed the fish. I loved all of the videos, all the parts where they just showed the sharks going around and the ray going around. I was like, can we have just black and white aquarium from Monica? That sounds really nice.
Nice little screensaver movie for Monica.
Yeah, no, I was very into it. But yeah, I also just, I feel bad for those guys who died at the beginning, but I just was laughing so hard because they wouldn't show any of the violence at first, and the only thing they showed for like three of the kills was him just like fucking the Gill Man just palming them in the face.
Yeah, he just
palming them and it's over. Mm-hmm. Imagine that power, that raw fish power.
Oof. Well, he's 6'5" on land, so
damn,
I know
he's got that's all reach it takes to just.
You just give up. You're like, what am I supposed to do with that? I'm just going to fucking die. And then he rips him up just for fun.
Good for I think him. That one guy did shout for his friend, right? Because like in yeah. the beginning, after they find the fossil, they're like, we have to always have someone at camp to keep an eye on things because they're going to maybe try and dig out the rest of that skeleton after he just like chopped the hand off. Basically he was like, that's fine, I don't care about the integrity of this fossil at all, but
also,
I guess
like it would never sure. look like that.
No,
just it would never fucking out, look yeah. like that. But also hilarious, I mean maybe it did look like that because it wasn't ancient, and that was like that was Gilman's one friend,
that was my friend from yesterday,
like 3 days ago. And they stuck his arm in the wall. I don't know It doesn't have yeah, to make sense. It's not about that.
There were so many parts of this movie where I went, maybe this made sense in the 50s. I don't know that I have the information necessary.
About the vibes.
Here. Yeah, where they were just like, oh, the limestone on the rock matches the limestone deposits from the bottom of the lagoon. I was just like, okay. And they were like, we're going to kill him like you kill a mosquito. And I was like, how did they kill mosquitoes in the 50s? Like, what is that mean? Do they
mosquitoes
have spray guns
for you.
Mosquitoes in the 50s?
You squirt them, apparently. That was the squirt
I
thing,
I
right?
guess. Yeah.
You squirted them with a squirt gun, of course.
But I was just, you know, Monica said it. It's all about the vibes. I was just rolling along. I did love when they lit the Gill Man on fire. I thought that was absolutely rad.
That was so
it looked
sick.
Really cool, too.
It looked Did really you? Cool. I was like, I was getting kind of bored. Sorry to the movie.
No, it's okay. Slow
yeah,
pace.
I think there is a circumstance in which I am flavor blasted and maybe can watch this movie in 3D. And I'm just like sitting on a big screen watching, experiencing the vibes. And I think that could be very slay. But I was, for a movie that is 79 minutes long, I was like, this sure is the slowest 79 minutes I've ever experienced.
No, I agree. I was like pausing it a lot, but I was laying on my deathbed yesterday because if you can't tell, spookies, I'm sick. Sorry, I sound like this and I keep coughing. But it's a great thing to watch on your deathbed because you're kind of spaced out, you're on a bunch of Sudafed, and it kind of makes it feel a little faster paced because you're kind of on speed. So that is a great way to watch it. I would recommend that for you, Chelsea. Try sure. speed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, next time. But yeah, as soon as they lit the creature on fire, I was like, okay, this rules. That rules.
That ruled. And also, okay, did it light that guy on fire too? Because his whole face was wrapped up like a mummy. And I was like, did he get lit on fire as well? I missed that.
I don't know if he got lit on fire, maybe like scratches on his face.
I guess. Okay.
But apparently he survived.
Okay.
Oh, great.
There were so many people that like were in this, and I was like, why are you in this? I was reading one article and it name dropped one of them. I don't know which one.
Z?
The names don't mean anything to me, but they were like, oh, Chico? And then this guy was in it just because he was in everything at that time. So they're just like, Everybody loves this guy. We're going to have him here. And he's going to be like, whoa. And that's his line. And then he gets scratched and that's it.
Well, this was also back in the day when you would just have like a contract with the studio. You would just be like one of the Universal players or whatever. And so they could just be like, do this movie. And you would kind of to some degree just have to be like, okay. And you would like you'd be contracted for 7 films with Universal or whatever it was. And Julia Adams was one of the like main, I don't know. She was like a Universal player at the time, and she didn't really want to be in this movie because it wasn't her typical kind of movie. But then she was like, well, I have a contract with the studio, they want me to do it. I guess it's kind of no big deal. And then it was like one of her most famous, memorable roles after that. So I think this movie really did take off in a way that they didn't necessarily anticipate when they were making it. Like we said, it is a B movie. So clearly it was not ever planned to be like a big major feature in its own right. But they really did just kind of like throw a lot of stuff in there.
I mean, it was a huge
legacy.
Hit.
Yeah.
It was a huge hit. They made it for $500,000 and it grossed $3 million. This is in the 50s numbers? I don't know. This is from Denim
Every
Geek.
Time I saw numbers, I was like, is this up-to-date numbers or is this...
I know.
Like,
this I can't. I couldn't tell you.
$15,000. And I was like, today $15,000 or then $15,000? Because that's very different.
Well, look, this says by the end of 1954, Creature from the Black Lagoon had already grossed $3 million. So that's
then dollars,
That's then dollars. And so, that's why they went on to make Revenge of the Creature. And then, like, what is the last one called? I don't know what the last one's called. It had such a funny name. Damn it, I can't find it now. It was so funny.
$3 million in 1954 is $33 million today, just for the record.
That's a lot of money still. And that's just by the end of 54. I mean, gosh. So it turned into this whole thing. Oh, yeah. We were mentioning earlier that they're going to make this movie like literally copy paste King Kong. But then they're like, you know what? Let's leave the part where they bring him to America for a potential sequel. And so
for
that's what Revenge
movie.
Of the Creature. Exactly. They set themselves up for success here. But that's what Revenge of the Creature is about. They literally steal him in the first 10 minutes and then bring him to Florida's marine land. And this is why SeaWorld comes into play. And so they put him in a little SeaWorld like thing and he's sad and it's terrible. And then he like goes on a rampage, whatever. And then that's the end of the movie. But
I found
apparently...
the title of the third one if you want it.
What is it?
It's called The Creature Walks Among Us.
Yes. Isn't that sick? Ooh. That's dramatic. Yeah,
it's a good title.
And also I'm getting ahead of myself, hold on, holding my own thought, but the marine land one, Revenge of the Creature, apparently, like, I was reading this Den of Geeks article and they're like, honestly, it was a little more Blackfish than I was expecting. Like, it was revealing like the harsh conditions of SeaWorld type places in 1955 or whatever when it came out.
And they buried those secrets for another 50 years.
Exactly. Apparently too, though, from this article that I'm reading, the creature like changed in look dramatically over the three films. I don't know.
I know they
saved the
head and the hands part of the costume. And so I think that was consistent over the three films, but I'm sure it's possible that like the body was changing and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like the eyes changed for Revenge. Like, you know how the eyes were like weirdly look like they're lights in this one. They looked, I liked them still, but they looked, those were the one part that wasn't as good for me. And then in the second one, his eyes are even worse. They're significantly worse. They're referred to here as ping pong eyes.
Don't they like bulge out of his head like a fish?
Yeah, they're very round. They come out and they look bad. They don't look as good. And then in the last one, he looks more like a man than a fish.
Oh. He's been out of water a little too long.
Ew, yeah. He doesn't have the ridges. He's sleeker. I don't like the way
he's
that
not
he looks.
Ribbed for her pleasure.
He's not ripped for her pleasure anymore. It's very upsetting. It's more looking like the Pollywog we were discussing earlier. This is a watch along episode, people. You need to read this article to understand what I'm talking about. Look at that. Look how weird he looks. Yeah. I just sent it to you guys.
Hmm. Also, the poster like for it. The Creature Walks Among Us, one of them at least says half monster, half man, all terror. So I guess they really leaned into the half man part of it, maybe at that point.
Or is the third one about like his son?
They did consummate their love affair, and now, yeah. Oh, is that what you wanted? Guess what? By the third one,
they did fuck, and this is his son. That would be really, really funny.
He looks swole as hell in this one picture.
He's a beefcake in Creature Walks Among Us, so I don't know.
Works out.
Truly. Oh, yeah. Wow. He's beefy as heck. But, okay, another thing that's not about this movie, but about the movie in general and its lore. It apparently, in 82, John Landis was trying to get Universal to let him make a huge, big budget remake of Creature from the Black Lagoon. And we know that there are so many very successful 80s remakes of these 50s movies. The Blob, we haven't done the 80s one, but it slaps hardcore. It's fucking awesome. Evasion of the Body Snatchers, excuse me. That would be an interesting movie. That one was in the 70s, but that was a fucking awesome remake. So this was another one that could have fucking slapped. They literally had our guy, Rick Baker, signed up to do the makeup. There's not a better guy you can get to do it. But instead, they didn't do it. And instead, they put all their money into Jaws 3D. And if you know what Jaws 3D is about, it's literally like a copy paste of The Creature's Revenge or whatever. It's literally like they take Jaws and they put him in SeaWorld. Isn't that so weird? It's really annoying. It pisses me off. Anyway, though, I do really want to see Jaws 3D. Just as a side note, I heard it's fucking whack as hell. But we could have had a sick, nasty remake. But honestly, like they were saying what Rick's plans were for doing the makeup for the remake. And it was, you know, I mean, you can't really improve on this original. It's so good. Right. And the fact that it could swim, like the fact that it actually was like, could exist underwater and not fall apart and look so mm-hmm. good. And like whoever it was down there swimming in that suit, he did look amazing. Like so graceful, so beautiful. This is why I was so attracted to him. I'm into swimmers.
His ability to hold his breath for like such a long time underwater.
Up to 4 minutes, allegedly. Yeah. I mean, look at the Wikipedia page, there the section on canceled remakes is literally so long. There were 1 zillion attempts to remake this movie that never really got off the ground, whether it was because people moved on to different projects or what the deal was. Somebody chose to work on King Kong instead. So, like, there's another King Kong connection for you. John Carpenter wanted to do one at one point. Wow. And Guillermo del Toro, that's what we're saying, he wanted to do one at one point, but then his idea kind of became Shape of Water instead.
I'm glad it changed into that.
Yeah, that's a movie that deserves to, well, actually I've never seen it, but I know that it was up for Oscars, so, you know, it's gotta be good, right? There was a lot. There was another one that was going to be made in like 2007, 2008 that got delayed because of the writer strike at that time. There's a section on here where it said there was another reboot that was in the works at like 2014, maybe. It at no point are these like getting off the ground. It's just like not happening for them, which is crazy because
they don't need to change it.
It is, well, there you go. but yeah, I mean, all the underwater shots are beautiful, and they did a lot of really cool stuff with that. And like this scene where Kay is swimming and the Gill man is swimming underneath her, and they're sort of like parallel to each other. Like, it is beautiful. And that scene is very like Phantom of the Opera. So like, you know, sometimes you just need to have a beautiful shot, and that could be enough. And if you do it great the first time, why do it a second time?
Yeah, I mean, part of something that I thought was really interesting, I read for the first time a Roger and Ebert. Did I even say it right?
Is that good enough for me?
Yeah, okay. I just always think that I say like Egert or something instead of Ebert, and I'm like, I never actually looked at what their name is. I'm so sorry. I'm thinking about Egbert all the time, so it's hard to figure it out. But yeah, usually their takes are not it for me, and it makes me mad because they're hoity-toity. But this one take I did like, and I'm just going to read a little quote from it because I thought it was really interesting. And I think this kind of goes into the like slowness of the movie, so that's the tie back. It says, although it was aimed at teenage audience, it's a serious film with an adult sensibility. Its eye for beauty and belief in its ability to hold the viewer's attention make it feel more like a contemporary art house horror movie than a 1950s studio attempt to make an exploitation picture. And it's so true. It's so pastoral in a way. You know what I mean? I just watched Men yesterday, right before I watched this, which also has long swaths of time where the main character is just frolicking through a forest and it's slightly spooky, you know? I've also seen Lamb, another art house horror movie that's the slowest fucking burn in the entire world. And a lot of it is just like, they're hanging out. They have lambs, and that's kind of the vibe, you know. This movie, there's so much where it's just like they're swimming in the ocean, or not the ocean, the Amazon, I'm so sorry, and it's beautiful, and they're spinning all around, and they got a little, and here's a fucking alligator or crocodile, I don't know which one lives in the Amazon, don't come for me. It's just more like atmospheric in that way, and there's not a lot going on. But when it does happen, when things do happen, it's that guy lighting on fire, which is pretty exciting, and which is very Hereditary. Wow.
Wow.
You see all these parallels? But anyway, I thought that was an interesting take, and I was like, maybe that's why I liked it so much, because it's slow. And I do like those sometimes when my attention span allows for it.
Yeah, like I said, I think under the right circumstances, I could vibe with this film. I didn't have those circumstances at this time, but I, you know, there were parts of it that were highlights for sure. It was a little silly, parts of it. It was very 50s at parts of it where they're just like, the monster approaches Kay at the edge of the water, and she just kind of falls backwards and screams, and that's really all she does, and he just scoops her up, and then like
she has a fawning trigger response. Chelsea,
she does. There's that part where near the end where he like grabs her and he takes her in the water, and then he goes in the cave and she's just like unconscious, and like maybe she was underwater for so long that she passed out, but I was reading an article that said, compared to a lot of the characters' contemporaries at that time, she did pretty good in the sense that her character is one of the scientists. Yeah. And despite having a very slay wardrobe, she is very much treated as just like one of the other scientists and respected in that same way. And nobody's like, why is she here? Like, we got this lady, blah, blah, blah. Like, other than the standing and screaming, which is really all they give her to do for the most part, she is at least as a character an equal to the rest of them, yeah, and a peer to the rest of them.
And they even poke fun at that a little bit when they're like, oh, taking a lady into the Amazon. She's like, I can fend for myself or whatever. And she's not even scared. I would be scared to swim in the Amazon.
Oh, I would never.
They literally just said there were 9-foot catfish that eat you. Eat people.
Yeah.
She's not scared at all. She's like, I love to swim. I'm really good at it. Look at me point my toes.
But also we have David. Remember, they're like, they're living together, but they're not married. That's like progressive.
I thought they didn't live together. And that was the whole thing.
They just moved into it, like, together. Was I mistaken?
I thought it was that they weren't married. Was that, like, they kept being like, if you get married, you could live together and two live as cheaply as one or whatever that one line was.
Oh, yeah. They've only been together 6 months. So I don't know if they've moved in together yet.
But also, there was that line where somebody mentioned marriage and he was like, well, I hope she gets a raise so she can afford me. And I was like, sassy man lips is stays undefeated.
Yep. Seriously.
I don't know. He wouldn't lock it down, and he wants to be a kept man. I mean, she's a professional woman, but.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I did appreciate that. I didn't really realize it at the time because that's what I expect. I expect equality. Do we get it? No. But I didn't really think about how that was probably fucking rare for a 50s movie. Yeah. So that's great.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is the 50s. Women couldn't have a bank account until 1974. Where did all of her hard-earned money go?
Cash. She stored it under her mattress.
She buried it in the ground.
Smart woman does. She put it in the pointy part of all of her bras.
That's why
her bras are so pointy. They're full of dollars.
It's filled with dollar bills. Oh, here's one other thing I want to talk about, because we're not really talking about the plot of this one. There's a guy, and he's a gill man, and he comes and he fights them, and then they fight back, and then they poison the water with drugs. Let's talk about that actually really quickly. That was the thing that really reminded me of from the 50s, besides everything else about it. I was like, they just don't care about the environment at all. They're pouring poison so upon much. Poison so much poison into the water. They're like, oh yeah, how do I catch fish? I poison them, and then you eat it. Then you eat the poison. You're
they
eating
just
the poison
float to the surface.
You know he about how you're eating the poison though, after.
Well, okay, actually, there was something on IMDb trivia about the poison again. Who knows? But what it said was that the way that the poison works is that it basically makes the oxygen in the water like either disappear or not be accessible to the fish somehow. They swim to the surface to try and get oxygen, essentially. So they're just suffocating them. They're not actually poisoning them, so the fish aren't poisoned to eat, presumably, which is good for them.
Okay, that makes more sense.
In the movie, the guy introduced it. Yeah, the guy in the movie introduced it as though it just knocks them unconscious. And then you just scoop the fish up. And I was like, okay, so they're okay afterwards. But those fish were all fully belly up in the water. And then IMDb trivia made it seem like that stuff kills fish. So suffocating.
I don't like that stuff. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I'm going to be so real with you right now. And I'm not a big fan of that stuff. the mean guy dies. A bunch of other guys die, but you didn't really know who they were anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
All the good people that I wanted to survive, though, survived.
Oh, well.
Like, I loved the captain of Rita.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved the captain.
I loved him. He was great. The little, like, Colonel Sanders-looking doctor at the very beginning.
Dr. Maya.
Yeah.
They kept saying his name so weird, and I don't remember now how they said it,
but him
like Maya or something like that, maybe.
Yeah. And then David and
Mark
dies.
Okay, good.
Because what is the through line is Blonde men are bad.
Somebody got upset that you said that recently.
I'm sorry.
To that person. They were offended.
I'm blonde. And here's the thing, blonde women also bad. But we're
also
just
bad.
Girls, so.
We'll put it on the record. Yeah.
Like, we're just girls. So women. It's fine.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, here's another thing I want to talk about. The lair. His lair. I really liked his lair. And I thought his lair was very beautiful.
His
and I
grotto?
Love his grotto. That's a better word for it. I love that.
That is a good word.
Sea caves or whatever. I'm really interested in sea caves, though I know they're scary and descent reminiscent, and so I shouldn't go in them or whatever, but I'm interested in them. And so I like the idea of a little tunnel that leads to a cool little grotto place. That's in a lot of my favorite little fantasy movies, and maybe, I don't know, like.
And there was a bat in there, Hook. Just for you, Monica.
Oh, yeah, that was a bat. That was mm-hmm. such a funny part. That was the 3D. That's the one 3D come out and get you part. Oh, my God. I'm glad you said that. I thought it was a bird. And I was like, why is this bird flying at it, up my face? It was a bat. Okay. So funny. They had to do one gimmick with the 3D thing. Good for them. Good for them. Get your money's worth. But yeah. I mean, do we want to just move on to our segments? I don't know.
Okay, wait. I do want to mention some things in my notes while I'm looking at them. Okay. Well, one of my notes is wrong, I think, because I did end up looking up filming locations because my mom kept going, I wonder where they filmed. And I was glad I did, because do you know one of the places where they filmed?
Florida.
But do you know one of the other places they filmed?
A pool.
Chatsworth, California.
Oh, baby.
Where I watched this movie.
Could you feel the kill man with you that night?
I felt him with me. They filmed like the camp scenes, I think, in the beginning in Chatsworth. And it also listed Sierra Canyon specifically as one of the filming locations. And I found that at a lot of places, but I don't know what that means. And I can't figure it out because Sierra Canyon, where I did go to elementary and middle school, didn't exist as a school until 1978. And it only existed as a day camp for like 6 years before that. And as far as my Sierra Canyon lore tells me, from what I remember, it was like orange groves before that. So I don't, and Sierra Canyon is not like the name of a canyon anywhere in California. Like, I don't know what they mean by that. I'm very curious if anybody else does know. But they filmed in Chatsworth. Slay. I wrote in here, I like that they put two fish in the tank on the Universal backlot to make it seem like a real lagoon, but they did film in some real lagoons in Florida, like Sydney was saying, so maybe they were shy in front of the camera. I also have in here, I bet Sydney's loving all of these hairy chests.
I did.
Because there was some hair on some of those chests.
Here's the thing, I love hairy chests, and I want to see more man thighs.
Sure, like, and those shorts were short.
Men
shorts
should
are so short.
Men should dress sluttier. Come on.
Yeah. I liked when they had the dam scene where they come upon the dam. I liked that they didn't notice it until the very last minute, even though it was very obvious and visible. They just came right up to it. And then they were like, I tell you, nothing was there when we came in. It was put there to keep us out.
I like that the Gill Man is an engineer and a beaver. I like that
he's resourceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, there was like all these little moments where I was just like, okay, interesting. Like, I really didn't get the mosquito spray gun plan much. Although I did like that they just kept squirting him and it you know, it worked and it was so cloudy. I liked the scene, like we said, don't poison the Amazon waters. But I liked when we saw like the cloudy, they were like, oh, we have to wait it to go further down, and you see them like floating
down.
Yeah,
that was visually
cool.
Beautiful.
Well, they did a lot of beautiful stuff.
They did the mosquito thing was because they didn't have that much poison left, so they mm-hmm. couldn't poison the whole fucking lagoon. Yeah, so they had to squirt them right in the face.
Like
more efficient.
You do to mosquitoes, I guess.
Exactly. That's exactly what you do to mosquitoes. Of course.
My understanding is you just wait till it lands on you and then you go. But I mean, they, I guess they had better technology in the 50s. We've lost some of the recipes over time.
I think it was a little bit of a pesticides thing. So maybe it
and
wasn't
then we learned those can be bad.
Yeah, that looked like a little bit of a, like a pesticide spraying gun. That's the vibe I was getting. So not so good all the time. Just spray him with citronella. He'll be fine.
I need DEET.
But yeah, but that doesn't kill them. That just keeps them away from you, hopefully. They had something. They had weapons for mosquitoes back in the day.
Bring it back. I have so many mosquitoes in my backyard, and I hate them. I think I'm going to put a bat house in to try and combat them.
Welcoming Ooh. Bats onto the property. Just Don't like the grotto. You.
Don't end up like fucking, what's her name from Suspiria? With a bat in your hair.
True.
It's not good. Get rabies. Okay.
Now I'm ready for segments. Think? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was sad at the end though when he died and they shot him a bunch of times. He died in scare quotes. He obviously didn't die because there's two sequels. But I was just like, just let
there
him
might be
live
more
his lies.
I mean, there's just that hint at the beginning life. As discussed. Yeah. Then I liked how it was just like, okay, movie's over now. Now the movie's over. Goodbye.
I like how they're like, let him go. Let him go. And they let him go back to where he feels safest, below the surface. And then he died there in his home. It was tragic. I was moved. I was upset. okay. It's time for segments. How could this movie from 1954 be gayer?
Mark and David are in love.
Yeah, like, oh, are you fighting over Kay? Or is there something else going on?
It is one of those classic homoerotic rivals kind of thing. Like, yeah. I don't know if they're, for my version, I don't know if they're in love so much as they have an attraction to each other that they don't understand and can't put words to or name. And that feeds into the animosity and the rivalry because it's like, you make me feel things that I don't understand and I don't want to engage with. And that makes me mad. And therefore, I'm mad whenever I see you and look at you. And also, we have some philosophical differences about how to do science in the Amazon.
Do have philosophical differences,
but for sure that relationship is or should be homoerotic.
Also, the two guys who died at the beginning, who weren't brothers, I don't think, unless they said that. What were they doing in that?
Their names were
like
Louise and Tomas.
Yeah, I really liked them. I also thought they were both cute, and they should be boyfriends. Just saying,
they could be boyfriends.
It could have been a more tragic, I mean, I don't want gay people to die. And that's not what I'm saying, but like,
wow,
you know.
Monica canceled for the second time this episode.
Wow.
Was the other time when I went to SeaWorld Camp?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just wanted to make sure. I was like, what else did I do? I was like, yeah, no, that's fine.
You're like, no, I did that.
No,
that's
I did go
that's
to SeaWorld Camp.
That's fair, that's valid.
Yeah. but yeah, I feel like there could have been a little subplot. Deleted scene where they were having sex and then they were killed by the creature.
Yeah.
I could have gotten the 1950s anti-gay point across too. A missed opportunity from the filmmakers.
Wow, that's the whole Hays code. If you're gonna be gay, you've got to be a villain or die, right? So
exactly,
like, there we go.
They could have taught everyone a lesson. Jesus Christ, I'm being facetious. I'm so
Monica
sorry.
Canceled the third time.
It was a little more homophobic in this movie, don't you think?
Yeah, I was going to say we don't know for sure that the Gill Man is a man. He could be a girl, but then I remembered his 4-foot dick. So
yeah,
there you go.
He could identify not as a man. He could have a 4-foot dick and be non-binary Gill Man. Gill person,
and also,
I'm so sorry.
Like we said, we're just discovering this species, so we don't really know how biological sex or gender works for them. You can maybe be biologically female in that species and also still have a 4-foot dick. So
maybe just, you know how like females are like the bigger, badder ones? Maybe in this species, all females have 4-foot dicks.
They all have 4-foot dicks.
Or they're like an evolved. We're going back to the alien theory. Like, oh, if they exist, they must be so much more advanced than us. Well, if Gill people exist, they must be so much more advanced than us. They're beyond gender. They left gender a century ago in the Devonian era. Okay. They've just been living in the Amazon unperturbed by the gender binary. And I could see that as well.
They only like girls, though, of the human species, though, which is interesting.
Yeah, but girls are of the human species are better. So
the beautiful ones. Yeah. So
yeah.
They just wanted to find out what the was inside of the tits.
It's called They Have Taste. Like,
what's in there?
They want to know the secret as to why her titties are so pointy.
Exactly.
But that's like the sad thing is he was just curious. Like he was
do
just
anything
like,
to her. He just curious wanted to learn more. He was also a scientist and he's just trying to take a specimen back to his lab.
Exactly.
Oh, only humans can be scientists now? Wow, that's really speciesist of these characters.
I couldn't agree more. Okay, we've discussed gay things. Are there any more gay things to say?
We didn't see Kay interact with a single other woman. So you know, she could be extremely, extremely gay. And we just don't know. Especially if Mark and David, what's his name? David? Daniel? David?
David.
David. If they're off having a gay little romance rivalry, yeah, again, they're dating, but they haven't locked it down. Maybe that's Kay's beard.
So true.
People they didn't seem that romantic enough to me.
They did have that passionate kiss. That's another thing I want to say about the 50s. I like the way that they kissed in movies in the 50s. Yeah. It just seems like so exciting. They're like, whoa, throw my head back. Wild. It's probably because that's all they were doing was kissing because they're very chaste. And so they're like, this fucking rocks. This is rocking my socks right now. A different time. Okay, we're moving on to Matthew Lillard. Imagine Matthew Lillard in the 1950s. Where would we cast him in this movie besides as the Gillman himself?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like he'd have to play the Gillman because he's so tall. But if we're taking that off the table.
No, okay, well, I mean, we could talk about that more.
He could be Mark or David. He would also be a great captain of Rita.
Oh,
the silly guy. Captain.
Yeah.
Silly captain. I could see him being a silly captain. I like all of those for him. I like him as the Gillman, though, because we know how we all feel about Matthew, and you know how I feel about the Gillman. So it's a natural pairing.
And yeah, I mean, he's 6'4". That's basically Gillman height. Yeah. So
that is Gillman height.
That's
perfect
he's
for
right
Gillman.
He's in the zone. One guy was 6'5" and one guy was 6'3". So
he's right in the middle.
Oh my God, the perfect average.
He's the third Gillman. Perfect. Love that for him. Done. Signed, sealed, delivered. Okay, that brings us to Dumb Bitch. It's obvious.
Like it's Mark.
It's Mark.
It's Mark. It's Mark, but also a little K for swimming in the water. So far
she
away.
She swam so far out. Yeah. The captain told her, you're too far out.
I would do the same thing.
Yeah, so. But that's because you're a dumb bitch.
I know. But I just don't want to confront that right now. I'm already sick, Sydney. I don't need this. I already got canceled 3 times this episode from my own fault.
Might as well hit you while you're already down.
God
yeah,
damn
stay
it.
Stay down, bitch.
Oh, God. So the dumb bitch is me and Kay. No, it's Mark. Mark is worse. Mark wants to kill my beautiful husband. I'm really getting too involved in this thing where I'm into the Gillman. It's because of The Shape of Water.
But yeah, he does a lot of shoot first, ask questions later, which if you're trying to learn about other species is not a good science practice as I understand it, you know.
He does not have a scientific mind.
Do we think there's more than one
Institute of Biologica Maritima is questionable because as you said, not only does he escape in the sequel, but also bad business practices with those institutes, so... Mm-hmm. No, that was my question though to Sydney is like, is he the one or is this a species and he was just very
the
curious
one
and engaged
that
with
was
the
there,
humans
you know?
Or like this was his specific little I guess
grotto.
Well, do we know it's that hard. The hand in the beginning is the same Gillman that we see at the end because they've sailed far down that river to go find the Black Lagoon or whatever.
I don't know, and like a lot of the lore versions of this, like in, I know Shape of Water came after, but I'm doing what I can here. There's like lore that like he's like a god, like a god guy underneath water. I read the book of Shape of Water, which was really, really interesting. I think it was like a novelization, honestly, so I think it came after, but either way it was awesome. But yeah, he's like a god-like creature, and that kind of plays into the story that the in real life at that Orson Welles dinner party, the man the was legend. Telling about how, mm-hmm. the legend about how he came every 10 years or a year or whatever and stole a woman and blah blah blah, blah. That feels like a sacrifice to a god kind of thing. So there's an argument that like he's the one guy because he is a god, the god of the Amazon, or there was a whole bunch of them and they've been hunted to extinction and that's why that guy's arm was there. Or maybe there's only one every generation. It's like the Doctor from Doctor Who and he regenerates into another fish man later on. There's a lot
maybe
of different
he just sheds his hands, okay? Maybe he's like a snake shedding its skin and then that's why they only found the hand and they never unearthed the rest of that skeleton because that was an old hand he had discarded.
Yeah, or maybe he's like a lizard and his hand got cut off and he grew back another one because he's a god.
There's so much we don't know and we'll never learn if Mark kills the only Gill man.
And
so
that's why
Mark's
the dumb bitch,
the dumb to circle
bitch.
Back.
That was really beautiful. Great work.
Thank you.
Okay. That brings us to our knives out of five. So lay it on us, that raw data.
Yeah, on IMDb, this movie has a 6.9 out of 10. And on Rotten Tomatoes, this movie is 80% fresh from critics and 74% fresh from audiences. And like Monica said, it made like six times its budget. So this was really kind of an unexpected success in terms of what the studio was investing in it from the beginning. Yeah. And like we also said, it clearly had a lot of influence on films that came after. It was kind of like the end of its era in terms of Universal monster movies, in terms of like creature features, which were so big at that time, in terms of like 3D really being on its way out. It also yeah. kind of came right at the end of movies often being in black and white because this was around the time when people started to get TVs in their homes. And so that was really kind of the shift from when things could be in color to everything would be in color after that. So it really kind of closed out a lot of things, but it was beloved at the time and it is clearly made its mark on cinematic history. So.
Yeah. So who wants to go first?
I can go because I think you liked it more than me. Like I said, I think there are circumstances under which I could really vibe with this film. There were parts of it that I liked. There were also really long stretches where I was kind of bored and I was like, how is this movie still going and how is there so much time left? Because I thought it was going to be really short when I started it because it is only 79 minutes, but I feel like I've been here a long time. So in that regard, I just didn't really connect with the movie. I didn't like get that emotional buy-in at any point. Again, we didn't really learn. Every character kind of gets like one character trait and that's kind of it. Yeah, and we don't really get any like development for them as people or their relationships much, other than a little bit David and Kay, but that was kind of it. So it was hard for me to really like have a fun time watching. I do appreciate all the stuff I was just talking about, all the influence it had. Like the music was really good. It was really well done. The swimming scenes are beautiful. The parallel swimming scene with the Gilman and Kay, I did really like, and I did appreciate like what that was. I'm finding maybe that, you know, the slower creature feature, that is maybe just not for me necessarily a lot of the time. I like more. I don't like the. I want more to happen. I guess
Chelsea likes Cocaine Bear, you know, for a creature feature.
She's a Cocaine Bear kind of girl.
I haven't seen that
if
actually,
it's not
but maybe
bear,
I'd love
then.
It. Yeah, I don't know. It just like, I could see there being a time in which this movie and I would be besties. It wasn't this viewing experience. I don't want to give it like a bad score, but I also don't really want to give it like a good score. So I'm kind of in a rock and a hard place.
3.5? 3? 3.5 is the most neutral score.
But like that feels bigger than the experience that I had. But yeah, I guess 3, because to give it a 2 feels unfair to the film itself and what it was and the effect that it had. Its legacy.
I understand. They made movies different back then, so especially for this kind of schlocky thing. Yeah.
This is December. It was a B movie. They were not investing in this movie that much. They weren't going to spend that much on the script. They weren't going to do more than one take for a lot of scenes. You know, they're just like, here's what it is. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
So, I gave it 3.
Like 3. This movie is 1. It gets a point for only being like 79 minutes.
Sure, that's true.
It does feel longer than that, though.
It feels like a very long 79 minutes.
Like, I was shocked by it, especially because immediately after this, I watched We're Back. Do you remember that? The 1993 classic dinosaur movie?
No, I don't know that I've ever heard of this.
I've never seen that.
What?
I know.
Wow.
I was 0 years old in 1993, so I missed it.
It's a Steven Spielberg Presents. But that movie is also, I think, a little bit shorter than this. And like
shorter than 79 minutes.
Yeah, it's like an hour-ish, like a little over an hour.
How long is The Haunting of Sharon Tate?
We're Back. Like, I was like, what do you mean it's already over? And this movie, I was like, oh my God, when is this over?
But exactly.
Like, I still had a good time with it, you know? Like, and it does make me want to watch a bunch of the older, like, OG godfathers of the genre.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so yours is a 3?
Mine is a 3.
Okay, I'm going to give this one a 3.5 because, again, it's not a movie made with Spooky Tuesday in mind, weirdly, because it was made in 1954. So yeah, it was a little slow. I felt the same way as y'all, being like, oh, there must be like 10 minutes left, and there were 40 minutes left. So it gets a little slow there, but the parts of it that I do really love were just like the effects makeup. I was really taken aback by that. I was deeply attracted to the Gill Man. I was very attracted to the Gill Man, and I'll have to unpack that in therapy. But again, my therapist is on maternity leave, so I have a long time before.
And I have to pack in.
I'm adding this to my list of things to bring up with my therapist when she's back from maternity leave.
It's Guillermo del Toro's fault, and that's the truth. So we can talk to Guillermo about it. It's his fault. But anyway. I just really liked all of the things that I learned because I watched this movie, which makes me like this movie more. I nerded out with the like research on it, which I really like to do. So that bumps it up for me. And I just feel really excited that I've seen a movie that is so influential on the genre. And so that's really exciting. And again, like you guys were just saying, this has really gotten me excited about movies from this era when I really kind of wasn't before. And so I'm excited to go on a journey of self-discovery in the 1950s horror scene. Watch more Vincent Price. But yeah, so 3.5 for me, and now I can buy the shirt with Gilman's face on it, and I'm not a poser, so seems like a win.
And yeah, show them your background, your phone background.
Okay,
my phone background is literally Gillian Anderson, Scully, from the 90s with the fucking Gilman. Her looking sexy as all hell. That has been my background for like 5, 6 months. So now I'm not a loser anymore.
Monica.
What?
That should be yours and Adam's Halloween costume next year.
Oh my God, that would be so funny. But also, I cannot get an outfit for Adam to make him look like that. The best I can do is the polywog.
You already have a morph suit. You just got to glue a million scales to it. Like they
we could make it work.
Black. I don't know if Adam would want to go into full effects makeup. I don't know if I can ask that of him, but we'll see. I can Adam maybe make him look like the polywog, but that's as close as we're going to get.
You could be Gilman and Adam could be sexy Gillian Anderson.
That would be great too. I haven't done. I could go full. Oh, is it Heidi Klum who does crazy effect makeup every year? Yep. I'm gonna go full Klum on it next year. You just wait. But okay, that's closing the book. We're closing the book on Creature from the Black Lagoon, and we're opening the door to something that I've been trying to get us to do for so long. And I don't think y'all know how much you've signed up for next week, because I just looked at the runtime. Sorry. But okay, what is a B movie? We just defined it earlier today. So half of this technically will not be accurate to B-cember, now that we've all discussed that a B movie is the movie that plays second in a double feature. But what's more December than playing a double feature itself? And what's more December than playing a movie or two movies technically that were fully and completely inspired by B movies in general and all the exploitation films? This one, the ones that get way more horny and disgusting in the 60s and 70s. So we're doing it. We're doing it. We're talking to Quentin. We're looking him in the eye. And we are doing...
He's going to be here. Okay.
He's going to be here. No.
Can't wait to talk to him about his foot fetish.
We're going to talk to him about his foot fetish. No, and only in our minds. I mean, he does run a theater that's right down the street from my house. So I could see him the next 3 days and get him into my house to talk about this movie. No. But we're metaphorically talking to Quentin and looking him in the eye by doing 2007's Grindhouse. I'm so excited about this. If you don't know what Grindhouse is, it's two movies that played together in the theaters, like we're saying, doing the whole double feature thing that was very popular in the 60s and 70s. One is by Quentin Tarantino, and the other one is by Robert Rodriguez. And we love Robert, and Quentin has some great movies. So this is going to be a fun one. Just the whole way they did this is really fun. Like, they have trailers in it that are fake trailers that have inspired a lot of movies. In particular, Thanksgiving, the Eli Roth movie that just came out, is based off of a trailer from the Grindhouse movies, a fake trailer. So it's influential. And have y'all seen it before?
No, I haven't seen either of them.
I've seen bits and pieces. Like, they've been on TV and I've watched it for a while, and then like you didn't realize what it was.
Yeah.
And like I know like Rose McGowan and her like machine gun leg. So like I've seen, like, I know the pop culture, I've seen it, but I've never seen it, you know?
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting one. We're going to have a lot to talk about. There'll be a lot that you like. There'll be a lot that you don't. And we'll go through it all. Next week on Spooky Tuesday. But okay, back to the creature just for a second. The poll question. We already decided what it was, but I forgot. Let's remind the listeners. Who else remembers? What did we say? It was
when
you,
did we decide?
We did earlier in the movie. You said something about the Gilman. Oh, would you rather him have a 4-foot dick not? That's it.
That, or it could be, do we think, like, is he the
is
last
he a grower
one?
Or a shower?
Is he a grower or a shower?
Does he have the dick, but we just can't see it?
Right? What if it's there's going to be a... Like, what if it's just like an invisible 4-foot dick?
What if the poll is like, what's your favorite Gilman theory? And one theory is he has a 4-foot dick, but you just can't see it. And one is that he's the last of his species. And one is that he's actually a lesbian because they could be a girl and they only like ladies.
I like these. Okay, yeah.
What's your favorite possible
he's
Gilman
a god.
Lore?
Okay, perfect. That's better. That's definitely better.
He's a god. That's part of the lore. Yeah, that's one of the options.
I know. Oh my God. Okay, yeah, we'll put that up. So vote. We need your vote. You need to cast your vote. It's very important.
Yeah, don't forget to vote.
Why not? Yeah, don't forget to vote. Why not give us a 5-star review also? I mean, it's the reason for the season. December, the season of giving us, not B reviews,
cars,
A plus reviews. Yeah, exactly. And why not also follow us on social media? We're at Spooky_Tuesday on everything, pretty much, specifically YouTube, where there are YouTube episodes now, full video episodes. This one will be exciting because it's all in black and white. Ooh. Mysterious. You can find out if we ourselves look sexier in black and white. And honestly,
the answer is yes.
We look really good. We look great. And then we're also on Facebook and Tumblr at Spooky Tuesday Pod. And I have to say, thank you for listening, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye, spookies.
The Black Lagoon.
Beautiful lagoon.
Another world.
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamra Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at Captain Tamra, and our podcast art is by Mary Murphy, who you can find on Instagram at the_moon_OMG.